Thank you, Grace Dean, for meeting us this morning. At the conference that Melissa and I were at, the Grace team there, they had the coolest thing. It's a chair drum. I don't know if you know what a chair drum is. The drummer sits on it. And it's like a box.
The drum.
It's a drum?
The drum.
A drum. Could be. And he beats on it. And it gets different, depending on where he beats it, it gets a different tone. And I just thought that was so cool. We need one of those things, you know.
You gonna play it?
Nope.
So one more thing to add on the stage that we don't use?
You've got to have a good one. I haven't met. So, anyway, just mention that anyway. You know, yesterday was a great day. There's all kinds of wonderful things that happened yesterday. First of all, you know, of course, your beloved Cougars, they just beat up on Arizona something fierce, but 69-7. You know, it wasn't even a game. The traffic was horrible. You know, I wish you'd play somewhere else. But anyway, that's okay. And our Colfax girls volleyball team, they took district, correct? District, so they're heading to state next week. And so we want to cheer on Kylie and Taylor here, you know. Go! Exciting to have that. And something that just kind of hit me out of the blue. It's really kind of exciting. You guys don't know this, but a member of this church is Miss Idaho. Cassie Lewis won Miss Idaho last night. So when you see the Lewises, congratulate them. You might want to bow or something. Anyway, and you know, I kind of got a feeling Cassie's going to show up sooner or later. And when you do, you just need to, you know, slap her on the back. Not too hard, you might not throw her. But anyway, great day yesterday. Anyway, the Lord has provided us with this great weather, hasn't He? This week, you know, hopefully farmers are getting done what you need to get done. Mark, how the sunflowers doing?
Got
some of the sunflowers, and all we're excited about that. So. Anyway, it's a great day, and I'm excited about today and the sun shining, and we're going to look at a passage of scripture this morning that, I know this is going to sound terrible, I use it for funerals, and I look at it and I think, wow, this has so much more for us, because it talks about, now this is the last Sunday we're going to talk about Jehovah. We're going to move on next Sunday to Adonai. But this week, this is the last time we're talking about Jehovah. And this passage of scripture, which is actually one of my favorites in the book of Psalms, it talks about Jehovah. And it gives us more information about this Jehovah God that we worship, this Jehovah God that we have committed ourselves to. And it just gives us some really neat stuff about Jehovah. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3. Now, you probably might not want to rely on the screen because I changed things, Mark. It's a new program and I didn't know what I was doing. So it may be there, it may not. So you might want to keep your Bibles handy because it cannot be there. But anyway, Psalm 27, David writes this. And I love this psalm, and it's so apropos for what we're going through the weekend before a major election, when a lot of people are concerned about what's going to happen in our country. But listen to what David writes here. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumble and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rises up against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident." Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for providing for us this place and this day and the freedoms that we have in our nation to come and to worship and to learn from your word. Father, as we look at this great passage of Scripture, Lord, I pray that you would just reveal yourself to us in a greater way than you ever have before. Lord, I pray that we would take these words that are written here, that we would apply them to our lives, that we would grow in you and grow closer to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this passage of Scripture, and again, this is the last time, I know I spent 3 weeks on Jehovah, but again, in my defense, Jehovah is used thousands and thousands of times in the Old Testament. And so, it's the Jewish national name for them it's Yahweh, but we pronounce it Jehovah. It's their national name, so it really meant something to them. So there's so much that is given about Jehovah here. And so I just thought it merited to have one more day on Jehovah. So we're going to look at this. And this passage of Scripture, and I have used this one literally hundreds of times. So I use it almost every funeral that I do. But I look at it and I'm thinking, why am I just limiting this to those people who are mourning over the loss of a loved one? Why am I not sharing this with a congregation? Because we need this. We need to have this. We need to know this, especially in the day and age that we are living in. So we learn three things about Jehovah from this passage of Scripture. And then from that, there is two ways that it needs to affect our life. And I'm going to go through them rather quickly this morning. So in fact, you'll be proud of me. I went through, there are more scriptures listed in your bulletin than I'm going to show to you. And they're just there. They're all on the topic, so you can kind of look them up later, but don't say, hey, you skipped that one. I did it on purpose. They're all on theme, but it would have taken way too long to go through all of them, but they are in your bulletin insert. So feel free to look those up, even while I'm speaking, if you would like to do that. But we look at this thing, and the first thing that David says is, the Lord, Jehovah, is my light. Now, we all know the value of light. And light gives us, it illuminates things. It sees things. And we can see things. And, you know, a lot of times when I talk about light, I use the example that I don't like to turn on lights when I get up in the middle of the night, as most seniors do, what seniors do in the middle of the night. And I don't like to turn on lights. And so it's kind of dark, and occasionally the door isn't open like I thought it would be open. You run into it, or there's something there, and you kick it. And although now I have put one of these motion sensor lights in our bathroom, not the big ones, a small one, you know, so that when you get close to the bathroom, the light goes on, and it's really cool. I like it. And when you leave, it stays on long enough for me to get to the room, and so I don't trip on it because it illuminates things. But the other thing that it just is kind of interesting how the Lord gives you little examples about how important light is. I have kind of a unique thing going on, and I'm not sure what it is, but sort of a health thing, I guess. And I discovered it last week at Marianne Sharp's service up at the graveside, standing a little bit on the side of a hill there. And Pastor Dean says, let's pray. And I'm standing there, I close my eyes, and I start to fall over. I thought, that's weird. So I opened my eyes in prayer, so forgive me for that. And so I thought, okay, I'll do this. I'll close one eye, and then I'll close the other eye so I get used to it. And as soon as the other eye closes, I start to fall over again. So I stand up. I thought, well, I can hang on to Melissa and pretend that I have my arm around her. You know, but I'm kind of afraid if I really go, I'm going to take her with me. And so, you know, I said, that's just kind of weird. So I squinted to this prayer. And I didn't think much of it. But then yesterday, I was down at the school painting on the house that for Oklahoma. You know, it's a great play. Guys, you got to go see it. And I'm painting there. Well, Mr. Kamik is up working, setting the lights. And that means he's doing different things with lights for the different scenes. And so I'm painting because I want to get it done. And he's up there doing this. And so I'm standing on this stool. And, you know, it's okay. Then all of a sudden the lights go off. And you know what? I start to rock back and forth. It's like, uh-oh, the lights come back on again. I'm good. And then the lights go off. And I don't want to tell him, hey, you know, you're really playing with my mind here, Mr. Cannon. Stop it. You know, then all of a sudden they'd come on like daylight or even brighter. Then they'd go dark. And I'm sitting up there, and I don't know if they can see it from where they're at, but every time the lights go off, I start and finally they got done playing with the lights, and I didn't fall and stuff. But, you know, life gives us balance. It gives us balance in our life. You know, we can see things. So all of a sudden it's like I can see where I'm going and I have balance. I don't fall. Maybe some of you experience this. I don't know. Is it common with older people that when they close their eyes, they fall over? You know, I hope not, because I want to be able to do that from time to time without falling over. And but it gives us, and so Jehovah is our light. He illuminates our world. And he gives us balance to our life. And the scriptures, there's a lot of mention of Jehovah being our light. Psalm 18:28 says, "For you light my lamp. The Lord my God illumines my darkness." God has the potential to lighten up the dark areas of your life. Now, the thing is when those are light illuminated, we need to be able to do what we need to do in those areas to clean them up and to make them bright. In Micah chapter 7, verse 8, the prophet writes, "Do not rejoice over me, O my enemies. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me." Now, there are a lot of people who think that we as a nation are going into dark times. And maybe so. But guess what? We have a light. Each one of us here has a light that will never go dark. And it's in Jehovah, our God. He lights our life. John 1, verses 4 and 5, and one you know quite well, talking about, again, Jesus Christ. It says, "In him was life, and the life is the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." And I love that verse because it really talks about we have Jesus Christ. So we are living in the light, but the world as a whole does not have Jesus Christ. And they're living in the darkness, and they do not comprehend Jesus Christ. Hence our mission of bringing Jesus Christ to them. And then again in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "And Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now that is a great promise. He who follows Jehovah, who follows God, who follows Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will walk in the light even though the world is in darkness. And that is such a tremendous promise for us that we have the light that illuminates things. It helps us to see things clearly, but it also gives us balance to our life because we have kind of, you know, I can't get into the visual thing, depth of field or whatever it is, but we can stand firm because we see what is going on around us. The next thing that David says about Jehovah in this psalm is he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." In fact, the name Yahweh or Jehovah became synonymous with the Jews as far as salvation goes. Now, in the Old Testament, salvation kind of had a dual purpose here. A lot of times salvation is mentioned, but it means I've been saved from my enemies, and literally talking about physical enemies, and David uses it quite a bit. But Moses, clear back in the book of Exodus, says this in 15 chapter 2, "The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will extol him." Moses is saying, and you have to remember, put this in context of Moses' life, that God is his salvation. God is his Savior. In Psalm 62:7, the psalmist writes, "On God my salvation and my glory rests. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." This idea again that salvation is only found in God. In God, my salvation and my glory rests. In the book of Jonah, this is something that Jonah says when he's in the whale. Chapter 2, verse 9, he says, "But I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. That which I vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from Jehovah," the Lord. Salvation is from the Lord. Jonah realizes this, and of course, the great fish then throws him up on shore, and Jonah goes on the mission that God wants him to do. But salvation is from the Lord. Now, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, this is a great passage of Scripture. And it says in here, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." And of course, the name he is talking about is Jesus Christ. There is no other source of salvation for us but in Jesus Christ, who is part of the Trinity, part of the Elohim that we talked about 3 or 4 weeks ago. This God is our salvation, and there is no other salvation in any other name than in the name of Jesus Christ. So Jehovah is our light. He is our salvation. And then the next thing that it says here, and this is kind of a different one, but it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom will I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life." Now, whenever I see the word defense, I don't know, it pops in my mind, and it shouldn't do that, but I get this vision of this person in a group of people standing there with his face painted part teal and part green, and or blue and green, whatever it is, holding a section of fence up in the air, you know, from the Seahawks. You guys have seen that, haven't you? Oh, come on, I'm not imagining that. You've seen that, haven't you? Defense. You guys need to watch more sports. Okay, but anyway, I don't know why I get that vision. But Jehovah is my defense. He is my protector. He guards me. He protects me. He's my defense. And, again, the Old Testament, we have a lot of scripture backs it up. Psalm 28:8. "The Lord is their strength, and he is a saving defense to his anointed." The Lord is our strength, and he is our defense. He is defending us. You know, we have an eternal, everlasting, self-sufficient God who is defending us. He's protecting us. He's watching out for us. Jeremiah 16:19 says, "O Lord, my strength and my stronghold." And defense and stronghold are the same word in the Hebrew. "And my refuge in the day of distress. To you the nations will come from the ends of the earth and say, our father has inherited nothing but falsehood, futility, and things of no profit." See, they're going to realize that in God is the only place where they find security, where they find any value in life at all. It's in God. And He is our strength. He is our stronghold. He is our refuge in our time of distress. In the book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7, and I'm sure you won't find it in time, so just look at the screen. Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who take refuge in Him." Again, the defense, stronghold, is the word here that is used for defense. We have a God, no matter what happens in this world, we have a God who is above anything that goes on in this world or in our nation, and He is a stronghold for us in a time of trouble. He is there for us. So we learn that Jehovah is our light, is our salvation, and is the defense of our life. Now, there needs to be a response to that. We need to respond to that. So how should we respond? We hear those things, and does that mean then we leave here and think, oh, that's nice, and we go out and we don't change? We need to change. We need to change the way we think, the way we do things. Because David lists two things that change for him because he knows these things about Jehovah. And he has stated them. Okay, we see in the first verse, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Now, look back on David's life. We did a little thing on David this summer. Who wanted to kill him? Saul wanted to kill him. You know, Saul, the king, wanted to kill David. And if that isn't bad enough, once Saul's gone, who else wants to kill him? His son. You know, again, when we talked about that, you know, how many guys in here can say, my son would really like to kill me? You know, now there may be moments when, and I can talk to Ben and ask him this type of thing, but anyway, there may be a moment, but you know, he was being chased by Saul early in his life, then by his son. He was fleeing from his son Absalom. And in that, David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread?" Now, the word fear and dread are just a little bit different. They mean kind of the same thing. But fear, we understand that, is being afraid of something. Dread is anticipating fear, is anticipating trouble. Do you know people who are in dread, you know, that they, you know, like the other shoe's going to drop tomorrow. I just know it is. Or it's just like, I dread tomorrow because I have to take a test. You know, when I was a student, I always dreaded when tests came around. It's fear of what is to come. It hasn't come yet, but it is to come. And a lot of us are feeling dread about the election. A lot of us are. And it hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen Tuesday, and whatever happens after that, we're afraid of that. Now, that's kind of dread. So you see a little bit of difference here. One is fear that you're going through in the moment. The dread is anticipating fear. And so you're in dread of that. But David says, because the Lord is my light, because it's my salvation, because it's my defense, I will not fear. What a tremendous statement that is for David to say that. Moses used this as encouragement to the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. "But Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for us today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever.'" Now, this is as they're standing at the Red Sea, and they are trapped. Of course, we know what happens. The Lord opens the sea. The Israelites go through it. The Egyptians try to go through it, don't make it. You know, but Moses is saying, do not fear. And God is saying that to us today. Don't fear what is going on in your life. Turn it over to God. We have Jehovah as our Lord. Jehovah, the self-sufficient, eternal God. The all-powerful God. The God who doesn't need anything outside of Himself to exist. And that is the God who is a relational God who loves us. What do we have to fear? God is on our side. Now, I have again some text there, but I'm going long, so just, I'm going to invite you to look them up, and we want to go to the last thing that David says here. He goes, and we read verse 1. Verse 2 says, when evildoers come upon me, and so I mark, this is not it. But when evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, again, my heart will not fear. Though war rise up against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. So I will not fear. I'm putting my confidence in God. And another word for confidence in Hebrew is trust. I'm putting my trust in God. And see, we need to do that. We need to do that more and more. I have to admit, I put my trust in God, then I think, oh, this is too big. Pull it back. Well, how stupid of me to pull back, you know, thinking that me, a flawed, mortal individual, can do better than the almighty, eternal, self-sufficient God in my life. Who should I trust in, me or Him? And even coming up to an election, are we going to put our trust? Now, to a certain extent, we have to put our trust in the leader of our nation. But ultimately, our trust is not in the leader of this nation, the leader of our state. Our trust is in God. And when we put our trust in Him, we grow closer to Him because we see how He works in our life. And in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, the word confidence is here translated trust. It's the same word in the Hebrew, but it's translated trust. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. That is a promise from God. But it's trust in the Lord. And I challenge you this morning to trust in the Lord. Put your trust in it, and don't fear what is to come. Because I think there's some scary things that are to come. Maybe not just because of the election, just because there's a lot of kooks in this world. And so I think there's a lot of things that we could fear. And if our focus is on what is going on around us in this world, and we don't look up to God, we're going to be basket cases. We're going to think that the cup is not half full or half empty. We're going to say that it's broken because there's no hope. But when we put our trust in Jehovah, the Almighty, the self-sufficient, the eternal God, who is a relational God, He wants to reveal Himself to us and has revealed Himself to us. When we put our trust in Him, we don't need to fear. And we can be confident that He will take care of us. Because He is Jehovah, the self-existent, the almighty, eternal God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for revealing Yourself to us. Lord, You are our light. You are our salvation. And You are our defense. Lord, with these things in our hearts, how can we fear? Lord, help us to put our trust, our confidence in You, that we may be victorious in our lives, not brought down by the concerns of the world, but lifted up by the Almighty God, because You want us to come to You. You want us to trust in You. You want us to put ourselves in You. Father, thank You for loving us. that much, that you reveal yourself to us and draw us to you. Lord, I pray now that as we gather around your table to celebrate the work that you have done, to remember that Jesus Christ gave his life that we might live. And Father, if you are willing to give your Son for us, Lord, we don't have anything to fear, and we can be confident. Lord, I pray that as we gather around your table, you will prepare our hearts to meet you there. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.